Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Great to be with you. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside. I'm gonna just get this out of the way right away. Since for our East Coast friends, it is April 1st. I'm not acknowledging it at all. I honestly, you know, I think of myself as a fun guy. I think of myself as a jokester. But April Fool's, I just think, is the worst day of the year. If I could take a pill and just sleep through it, I would. I despise this day. Is it maybe because I've been duped on this day in the past? Oh, I don't know. Possibly. But it's just everybody. I don't feel like a lot of people come at April Fool's with the same sort of, like, creativity that they used to. And really, anybody still doing April Fool's related things are hanging on to a bygone era, and it's just not funny.
How dare you?
And not clever. And it's more lame and annoying than anything else. It's really difficult. I can tell you this, in show prep, because starting now, with it being 12:01 on the East Coast on April 1st, starting now, whatever I see, I don't know. You got to like triple and quadruple check, and you already have to do that because the whole internet is an April Fool's with nobody knowing who's a bot and who's verified and who's real or not. And then when things do happen, you're like imagine if a Luka Doncic kind of trade happened and it said April 1st on the calendar. There's no way you could believe it. There's no way you could believe it. So I'm not participating. I do have my guard all the way up. Carlos, don't try any funny business on me either.
Yeah, I'm all out on April Fool's. I never do anything. I don't care. It's another day. Plus, I'm not clever enough to find anything good to do.
And it's always like there's one publication around here that just like does everything stupid. Like they're like, "Duh, Milwaukee nominates Henry Winkler, the Fonz, as the president of Milwaukee, mayor."
I didn't know Barstool made their way out there.
It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? So, not participating, not involved. And can't wait to see what dupes me coming up here today. God, even like, you know, if you're going to do an April Fool's, first of all, you got to start planning prior to April Fool's. But even simple things like Red Sox lefty Garrett Crochet gets a $170 million deal. I'm like, did he though? Is that real? Dodgers Freeman out following shower mishap. Is that an April Fool? I'm just looking at the headlines. Sources. Olivia Miles to forego WNBA draft. Enter portal. For real? Am I sure? I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not. I hate this day. I hate it. So do not participate. At all. I really enjoyed one of the days last week because that's when the over-unders came out in the NFL, at least for the win totals, for the 2025 season. And I wanted to look through the numbers and just try to see if there's anything that we like. Give it our spin of being like, you know, your gambling content, your gambling show. But again, with gambling content, I'm not necessarily giving out gambling content. I'm just using it as a predictive tool to see what we think about some of these teams. Because what's interesting is what we've talked about teams up to this point and the different feelings that we've gotten on these teams. And then to see somebody come out with an over-under. And is it relatable? Is it not? Is it off? Is it so shocking that even somebody who says, I don't get sports gambling, it's not for me, they have to go and place a bet? So let me look at the AFC East first. Some, I think the, just off the top, I think the ones that are low are the most intriguing. Just because when you really predict a team to be bad, like they have to be bad, bad. So in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills last year had an over-under of 10.5 wins. Okay, I think we understand how that works. You can either bet that they'll win less than that or more than that. It's 10.5 because, well, not all of them, but most are a half because they try to get you to bet one way or the other. The Bills then finished with 13 wins. So their over-under is 11.5 for 2025. Now, I should note the AFC East does play against the AFC North and the NFC South. I do think that's important. We can't predict totally what they're going to be, but it is something that I do find interesting. The Dolphins, their total last year was 10. They finished with 8. They're at 8.5. The Patriots, their over-under last year was 4.5. And we knew they'd be bad, but come on, 4.5? Well, they only won 4 games. They're up to 7.5. The Jets, with Rodgers, was 9.5. They only won 5 games. They're at 5.5. So for 2025, the Bills are projected to have 11.5 wins. The Dolphins, 8.5 wins. The Patriots, 7.5 wins. The Jets, 5.5 wins. That would put the Bills as the division winner and likely no wild card teams out of the AFC East. I think I'm a little surprised that the Patriots are up to 7.5. I know they only won 4 games last year. I know they got a new coach and a revamped defense, but this still feels like a situation of I need to see it to believe it. Look, maybe I'm still dumb about Justin Fields, but I think 5.5 might be too low on the Jets. 5 games last year, and I know they had Rodgers, and now they have Fields, so theoretically, at quarterback, they should be worse. But this might be addition by subtraction. I think the one I'm the most surprised at on that one is the Jets. If I were to place a bet at all, it would maybe be the Jets over the 5.5.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But also, if you're really expecting the Patriots to double their win total with
7.5,
Stephon Diggs being their big acquisition for this offseason. I know there's still promise in Drake.
They stacked up on defense.
Sure, and Vrabel's going to help them. You know, for all intents and purposes, everything that I hear out of Boston and the New England natives is that Gerard Mayo really was not that good of a head coach at all. Like, they tried it. It didn't work out. He was way over his head. Did not make in-game adjustments. Did not have great game plans. Like, that's the word that I've been getting from the region. So, all right, fine. You watch the team more than I do. I'll bank on it.
You're getting words from a region? Nice.
Yeah, I know people there. And no, nice. It's not Barry. But still, to double your win total, that's too much for me to, like, swallow there. So I would comfortably go under on the Patriots. Not to think that they would be bad. It's just 8 wins would be a remarkable improvement for where that team was last year. And I'm with you. I think the Jets one is too low. Dare I say Justin Fields is probably a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers right now. We haven't seen Aaron Rodgers ball out for, what, 3 years? I know statistically he had the Jets' third best quarterback season in franchise history, but he did it with a lot of volume, and he can't move. The dude is a statue. So I actually think Justin Fields would be a remarkable improvement over Rodgers. Over on the Jets, under in the Patriots. Bills, who cares? I think it's a wash. The Dolphins, we need to start talking about how the Dolphins stink. I don't think they're any good.
Yeah.
8.5, that's the definition of just like 50-50, man.
They're either winning 8 games or they're winning 9 games. So that's why that one's tricky.
Yeah. It's tricky because they have talent, but I don't think they're that good.
So that's an under for me, too. Buffalo's going to win this by a landslide.
And again, with the Jets, you know, the bet is Aaron Rodgers better than Justin Fields or vice versa. It's Justin Fields coming into a new system, a new coach. They have a lot of talent. They just weren't executing in terms of wins. And even some games that they maybe should have won, they got away from them. I just think that might be too low for the Jets at 5.5. In the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens, last year they were projected to win 11.5 games. They won 12. They're projected this year to win 11.5 games. The Bengals, last year, were projected to win 10.5 games. They won 9. This year, again, it's 10.5. The Steelers, thought to win 8. They won 10. This year, 8.5. That's got to be where they are. He has not had a losing record. And then the Browns, it was 8.5. They finished with 3 wins. It's down to 4.5. That's a tough one. It's so low. It is so low, but again, the Patriots were 4.5 last year, and they went under. I think with this one, I don't really like any of them that I would actually put money on. Baltimore, I think, wins a lot of games, but once you get to 11.5, that's very tough, especially where I think Cincinnati's going to be good. But do I think they're going to win 11 games as well? I don't know. The Steelers, again, I still think Aaron Rodgers pops up there later this summer. But does that mean they win 9 games? Hard to say. And then the Browns, 4.5. Like, I wonder if more money does come in on the under because people are very low on the Browns. I guess if I had to pick one, I would get a little nasty and flirt with the Bengals, who I am higher on than most. I'd flirt with them getting 11 wins, so I might take them at the 10.5.
Yeah, with the AFC East, where there's a lot of unders and overs that I like a lot. There's only one here at the AFC North that I absolutely adore. Everything else I'm not touching. And that's Steelers 8.5. I'm going under. I don't even
But they never had a losing season with Mike Tomlin.
Which that's called the hot hand fallacy. A player makes 8 shots in a row and you think he's going to make that 9th one and then rim and bounces out. This is that bounce out year. I've been down on the Steelers for a while. They did it last year on smoke and mirrors. You heard me on this program say it. I was here long enough in order to actually make that claim. Steelers under 8.5. Now, they don't have to go. I don't think they're going to tank. They're not going to win 3-4 games, but they'll win 8 and go right under that total, which is exactly what I need them to go. Is Aaron Rodgers that much of an improvement over Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? And if you're going to get one of these third or fourth quarterback options in the draft, are they that much of an improvement than Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? Probably not. I've long lamented that Mike Tomlin is a good coach, but it's a time for a change in scenery there. I think he's done at the end of the year. I think they're going to just get a fresh voice in there. I don't know if a new quarterback is going to do it. It might just be a lame duck kind of draft and Aaron Rodgers for 1 year. So we'll see. But I think Steelers Nation is going to have some growing pains the next couple of seasons.
All right, in the AFC South, you've got the Houston Texans. They were 9.5 last year, finished with 10. They're at 9.5 now. Jacksonville was at 8.5, finished with 4. And they're at 7.
That's terrible.
Colts were 8.5. They finished with 8. They're at 6.5. Tennessee was 5.5. They finished with 3. They're at 5.5. So the Texans are at 9.5. Jacksonville's at 7. Colts are at 6.5. Tennessee's at 5.5. This is tough. Houston, they seem, again, like a 9 or 10 win team. Jacksonville at 7, this is hard. The Colts, I may actually be tempted to take the over if they were committed to Anthony Richardson, because 6.5 is very low. And the Titans at 5.5, can Cam Ward get 5.5 wins? Again, I think what happens in Tennessee is what happened in Jacksonville, where Cam Ward's there. There's some growing pains. I still think he should be number one, but there's some growing pains, and we just don't know about it because nobody's watching those games. Can he win 5.5? Can he win 6 games? I'm not sure. That team is pretty bad all the way around, so I might lean them over. For some reason, that 6.5 just looks so low to me for the Colts.
Really? You think that looks low? I think that looks high, and they got some players on that team, but dude, once you bring in Daniel Jones as one of your options at quarterback, you have no hope.
It's a bad division, but they do play the AFC West. They're better.
Yeah.
NFC West.
I'm not in love with their schedule. And again, their quarterback room is like, if they think Daniel Jones is either going to be a motivating factor for Anthony Richardson, or if they think possibly Jones can be their starter, they're already in a tank. I can see a world where Colts and Titans are going to flip positions, where the Titans are going to be better than the Colts. So I'd like the over 5.5 for Tennessee and the under 6.5 for Indianapolis.
Yeah, I should. I don't know. Maybe it's just something about that number that's got me all crazy.
Jacksonville, it seems like the weirdest thing. I'm sorry to cut you off, but doesn't that just seem like the ultimate push with Jacksonville?
Oh, seven, absolutely.
Dude, they paid Trevor Lawrence. They paid a mishmash of receivers. We still don't know what Lawrence is. We don't know what this team is. They finally did the right thing and got rid of Trent Baalke, but it seems like that came 2 years too late in terms of a firing. So Jacksonville is in the oddest, like, almost flip-a-coin position that you can be in.
Here's one that I know you're going to take the under on. If you're still on your Kansas City's going to make the
1,000%. It doesn't matter what the number is. It's under.
It's 11.5.
Under. Easy.
Kansas City's over-under win total next year is 11.5. It was 11.5 this previous year. They won 15. Broncos was 5.5. They won 10. It's now 9.5. Chargers was 8.5. They won 11. It's back to 8.5. Raiders was 5.5. Or was 6.5, they won 4, it's 5.5. So, in 2025, this division feels like Kansas City's going to go under, and everybody else could go over. Kansas City's 11.5, that is high. I think there's some regression here. Broncos at 9.5 is tough. Chargers at 8.5, that I think is low. And then the Raiders at 5.5, look, I don't think they're going to go to the playoffs, but I think they're going to win more than 5 games.
Yeah, seriously, put some respect on Pete Carroll's name. I'm with you. The entire division, well, I don't know about the Broncos. I think the Broncos, I'll leave alone. Chargers, Raiders, I'll go over on their win totals respectively. Chiefs are not making the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. 11.5, that's where you're going to set this. I'm stealing money. I might as well be going to the sports book with a black mask and a burlap sack with a green dollar sign on it. Stealing money. I will happily take the under on Kansas City. They're not making the playoffs.
God, I love that take from you. It's so good. I think I agree with you, but I'm not willing to stake my reputation on it.
If you weren't with me when I was making the take now, be with me next year when Kansas City misses the postseason.
And the argument there, I think, is they were not a 15-win team last year. Nope. They won 15 games. And so, by definition, yes, they were a 15-win team. But we all know that they weren't. And they played more like a 10-7 team or a 9-8 team. And if you've heard what the Niners have been talking about, Brock Purdy was saying, look, there was some fatigue. We've been so far all these years. You may get that in Kansas City. It caught up to them in the Super Bowl. Could it catch up to them in the regular season? We'll take a look at the NFC, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, some of our favorite over-unders. The numbers came out last week. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside. And Marco Belletti on the updates. I think I'm going to need to do a little dad corner with Marco coming up.
I will let him know. Actually, I will have that ready too.
Yeah, something happened today that is like really demoralizing. Yeah. We got an email. So I will bring that up from somebody at his school that's not his teacher. So that's coming up. This portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Looking at some of the over-unders in the NFL, we look through the AFC. We will take a look at the NFC coming up. We're just trying to figure out if there's anything now, a month before the draft, that really, like, stands out. I think we both thought the Jets at 5.5 were kind of low for a win total. You hate the Chiefs at 11.5, or actually you love it.
I love it for money purposes. It's, you know, stealing it.
Even if you think they're going to make, like, you're saying they're not going to make the playoffs, but even if you think, no, it's a lock of the century that the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs, 11.5 is risky. I think it's very risky. That the whole division's better. The Broncos are better. The Chargers at 8.5 is weird. That's stupid. And then even the Raiders at 5.5, I think, is kind of dumb.
Yeah, and if you think that the Bengals are going to be better after the season they had missing the playoffs, well, not everybody in the AFC is going to go up in win total. Somebody has got to go down. I just happen to be putting all my chips in Kansas City going down.
Carlos and I are going to hang out on Friday. I think you would call it a hangout, right?
Oh, yeah. What would you call it otherwise?
So here's how we're going to hang out. It's going to be in Chicago, and it's going to be for the Cubs home opener.
Go Cubs, go!
And Carlos lives in New York City.
True.
And I live in Milwaukee. And I know a lot of you don't know where any of that is on the map, but we're in the middle of the country, right above Omaha, and right below Canada. But Chicago is... I mean, I took a train there last weekend. It was an hour and a half. It's a 90-minute drive. Okay? And if Carlos is going to be that close to me, and we have not yet interacted IRL, right? I had no choice but to come, right? I had no choice but to go.
You had a choice. You just made the better one. I would not have faulted you, by the way, if you didn't come. Because, you know, 90 minutes is still, that's a trip. That is a commitment.
Yeah, so how you're going to enjoy the day is you're going to probably have a fun night on Thursday. And then wake up at, you know, some sort of hour on Friday. And then start getting ready for the game and then enjoy the game and enjoy the night.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is Thursday, I am going to work until 1 o'clock a.m. Central Time. And then I'm going to go home. And God knows when I'm going to go to bed. Then I'm going to try to get up much earlier than normal, drive to Chicago, go to a baseball game. It's going to be a cold, like, windy kind of experience.
Oh, it's actually going to suck. I saw the temperature today. I was, like, brutal.
So it's going to be, you know, I'm going to be, like, tired. Then I'm going to drive home. Then I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this show. So it's just, I'm not complaining. I'm just using the juxtaposition of different days.
Yeah, I'm texting Jody Mack on the side just in case. I'm like, hey, man, don't have any plans next Friday.
No. I took off the last two Fridays. I gotta be here to tell the people about our game and all the great memories we're gonna make.
That is very true. Now I can almost guarantee you will have a guest next Friday on the show.
Can I have like 5 guests?
I can only guarantee you one.
And can we somehow record them all tomorrow?
Yeah.
Can I just? What about if we made
That's
Friday
right,
night like?
Mac show.
Yeah. Well. No. What if like Friday night I just like replayed the best of Zach Gallup or something. But I would intro the segments like, oh God, you guys had to hear Zach Gallup who he had on today and then like play it.
Yeah. You know, just do 1 hour Maggie and Perloff, 1 hour Gelb, half an hour JR. I mean, they were a little bit more recent. They're right on before us. We can't play a whole hour there. But, yeah, we could make it happen. I think it's a special occasion.
Yeah, updates are going to be 7 minutes on Friday.
Just replaying old Marco updates.
No, he's got to come up with 7 minutes of content is what's going to have to happen. You know what I saw today? I was at the game, the Brewers game. They had their home opener against Kansas City. They got their ass kicked. It was 11-1, I believe.
Sure did.
Brewers have given up 43 runs in the last 3 games. First inning. A fight's breaking out. And now it's opening day. So people are drinking more than normal.
Come after me.
But it's opening day. And the fight was over what I think is the dumbest thing to fight about at a baseball game, and that's a foul ball.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Really? They're fighting over that?
It was a foul ball came, they tried to get it, and there's no kids in the equation either, so it's not like somebody robbed a kid of a ball. And they're fighting over a foul ball. Two guys like have to walk away. I thought they like left. And they were of the age where it's like, okay, these guys were clearly crushing Miller Lights since breakfast.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
And they were arguing with a couple that must have been in their 50s. And these guys were in like their late 20s or something. And then I thought they got kicked out. But then they came back in like the fourth inning. And what I not realized is both of their wives were there. And then they're like rubbing their back, consoling them. And then the lady starts yelling at him again. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a foul ball. Go buy one for $12. This is the foul ball off some either brewer who's not going to be here in May or some royal who you've never heard from. Okay? And then you know what the brewers do to make it worse? Guess what they do in the fifth inning now? They drop t-shirts from the roof and parachutes. So now everybody's trying to grab these t-shirts, and one was falling right where this fight was. But thankfully, there's some like rope that keeps the net up, and it was coming right back to that situation, but it got stuck on a rope instead. So crisis averted part two, but I understand like the thrill of trying to get a foul ball and the initial like, hey, I can get it. But the minute, not even the minute, the nanosecond that you know you're not getting that ball, you don't make another effort for the ball. It's gone. If it was in your hand and it popped away, it's gone. If it went down in the seats below you, it is gone. Now, if it's an empty part of the stadium and there's like one of you here and one of you there, I mean, I think you should just like stare at each other and say, ah, whatever. I mean, it's a foul ball. We treat this thing like it's gold raining from the sky. It's foul ball, man.
Let me ask you, what is an appropriate souvenir to fight over? So we had foul balls. We had t-shirts raining from the sky.
Mm.
What would you slug somebody for?
I mean, like somebody would have to chuck a World Series ring up into the stands. And even then I'd just be like, I don't know. Now, these home runs that you know are going to be worth millions of dollars, that's different, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm whipping somebody's ass for an Ohtani home run.
That's different. And then you got to deal with Zach Hample, that jerk who's always at every game.
I would fight him for nothing. Nothing
yeah.
on the line. Just, I see you, you see me, you're an op, I'm swinging.
Yeah. What do you always say about that? You always say, like, it's on, or you say it's...
It's on sight.
It's on sight, yeah. God, you're so hip.
I am cooler than you, which is crazy because we're like, a couple of weeks apart.
Well, maybe it's because I'm a dad, and with that, it is time for another Dad Corner.
Shut the hell up!
It's Dad Corner with Bart Winkler and Marco Belletti.
All right, Marco, a little bit of an update on an ongoing kind of saga that's been happening at my kids' school.
Okay.
I told you we had a parent-teacher conference, and there's one specific kid that I'm not totally a fan of.
You said hate.
I did. I did say hate.
We're not going to let that go. Keep that energy. You hate this kid.
Haters.
He's what, five? Four?
Five, six.
Five.
I don't know.
We're going to hate him. All right, we got...
Haters.
So, first of all, we told the teacher, like, let's not try to keep my kid near this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Find out today that, as they do in classrooms, they reorganize the seating chart. And now he's sitting right next to him. I think she might. I don't know. Remember? Because I told you that my son came home and he said, I got my name written on the board. And my teacher's like, no, he never did. He never... I might believe my son right now. I don't know. I'm a little worried about this teacher.
Huh.
But anyway, why I needed to bring up a dad corner was because I had picked up my kid. He played at the park a little bit. That's fine. Walked home. Everything was all well and good. And we were just like having a nice time. And he was like really in a nice, agreeable mood. And, you know, it was very fun. And then I got an email. Now, I say this with all due respect, especially since my father is going to be retiring from this position this year after 35 years in the role. But I got an email from the gym teacher today about how my kid, quote, had a difficult time following directions and procedures in the gym. He was sliding and rolling around the floor while I was giving instruction. I had to ask him several times to make better choices. He was running around chasing another student and jumping on the stairs. And my first instinct was fight or flight. I was pissed at this teacher. I'm like, you're a kindergarten gym teacher. What are you expecting these kids to do? Okay, it's not the Ohio State marching band where everyone's going to be in a like perfect line here. And then I thought, on what planet, like, what actually has to occur? Either this gym teacher is like world's biggest like wimp, and he's like, you know, he can't deal. Otherwise, probably more likely, what had to happen in gym class for an email to be like, he had to search the database to find my wife and our email. And so this is something that's been on his mind all day. And then he fires off the email 10 minutes after school's done. Like, how bad was this? So I was really like, it was really kind of a shattering moment. My wife and I were very distraught, as if we witnessed our kid kill a man. It was just tough. It was a tough day.
Do you know this gym teacher at all? Like, on
never
site?
Met him. No, I have no idea. Never seen him.
No.
He had to introduce himself in the email.
Do you know if he's a Brewers fan?
I mean, I would think he is.
Is it possible? It's possible. He was taking out the frustrations of a bad weekend onto your child? Is that humanly possible? Because I got to be fair. It's not the gym teacher sending the email. Because I've actually gotten an email once from the gym teacher, too, from my son, I think, in fourth grade. And at first, you're like, the gym teacher? But I get it. I mean, it's a class. So I don't think that's that part of it. I think the fact of what he's doing doesn't sound all that bad for kindergarten gym. Unless it's a daily occurrence, I feel like your gym teacher just was in a bad mood and you got the brunt.
He was sliding and rolling around on the floor. I had to ask him several times to make better choices.
Gym is like recess. What the hell did you expect him to do? He's five.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, because again, it is a problem, and we found out who the other kids were. It's the exact same problem kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was the other kids. And there's like, I hate to say this, but, well, there's kids that I want him to play with that he's not playing with. He's playing with the kids I don't want him to play with.
Okay, so you just think this is coming back to the five-year-old delinquent that you hate?
Yeah. So there's that part of it.
All right.
There's that part of it. But also, I got an email from a gym teacher today. I'm still in shock mode.
So you're afraid you're seeing your future and your son hanging out with this kid at, like, you know, the 7-Eleven. Is that later in years and drinking from the paper bag? Is this where you're afraid you're going to? Is that what it is?
I mean, I would rather do that. The manager at 7-Eleven is not going to write me an email. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got an email from gym class.
I've gotten one before, so that's why I'm almost numb to it. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think you got to be a little bit concerned, though, with your son continuing to gravitate towards the delinquent that you hate. That's a little bit of an issue. But I keep telling you, there's nothing you can do about that. The more you push, the more he's going to, you know, run to him. And you don't want that.
The school is going to get an email from me that says, first grade, Splitsies.
Ooh, I think you're crossing a line here, Bart.
Oh, I got to take matters into my own hands.
You ready to have that conversation with this delinquent's parents?
Do they have to find out?
Oh, they're going to find out.
They're close to us, too. Like,
they're
I see them all.
They're going to find out. There is no way that these teachers... You just got a gym teacher that I think was annoyed because the Brewers gave up 20 runs on a Sunday. That took it out on your five-year-old. You think they're not going to be able to get this back to you and get it back to them? To see the drama unfold so they watch the parents annihilate themselves, eat each other up in the cafeteria or whatever it is when you got to go for parents' night? They're going to love it. They're going to love it. They're going to eat it up. You're going to be their drama. You're going to be their entire entertainment.
Then I was making my kid tell me the story. And a problem we're having right now is even when he's naughty, we think he's so cute.
Oh, you got to get past that.
And we're like, well, what happened? He goes, well, I didn't get sent to go see Big Dog. And I'm like, what?
Big Dog?
He goes, Big Dog. There's a guy, the assistant principal's name. We call him Big Dog. He calls us Big Dog. And it's just so cute. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, you got to get past that, man. They're malicious. You can't let the cuteness.
Well, so you're leaning do not contact school. Okay, that is helpful here.
No, I think you're crossing into lines that I don't think you want to go into those waters. I don't think you want to start talking to the school about kids you want to keep away from your kid and these parents I don't like. You're just setting yourself up for a messy end.
Now, I will say, I'm sorry that I, inadvertently or without your permission make you do this, but it's a great help to me, so thank you.
No, I don't mind. Hopefully I can be of help. I feel like I'm probably not going to be, and at some point I'm going to steer you down the wrong road, and I'm going to apologize because that's what I do with my own children and say I tried, but I was wrong.
Well, it was also that or I read baseball scores, so I thought this was a better use of time.
Yeah.
Which you can do.
I like to hear Connor Green's voice, too.
Yeah, I like that. It's Dad Corner.
I love the fact that we got like an 11-year-old basically to voice over Dad Corner, which is still my favorite. And I love Connor, but it's tremendous. It's tremendous.
All right, 888-710-4ISN. Here he is, Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. We took a look at AFC over unders. Hey, they came out last week. What do you want us to do? Ignore them? Look at NFC coming up next. Chris is in Buffalo. Let's sneak him in before the end of the hour. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Bart. What's up, man?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was just calling in to tell you how much I enjoy Dad Corner with Marco Belletti, my favorite sports announcer that you guys have on.
Well, good. thank you.
Another thing is I'm going to my first Sabres game this Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, first one. I've been to a Sabres game before you. How's that work?
I've lived here for 30 years, man.
What?
Yeah, you guys got me.
So you just waited for there to be a 10-year drought of them sucking before you could go?
No. No, you guys pulled me in, just like with baseball and the Olympics. You guys just make it so interesting. I can't help it.
All right. Well, Sabres hockey. I'm happy to help.
Also, one other thing that I'd really like out of Carlos, because I find it to just be hilarious, when he did his Westwood One impersonation, I kind of feel like he should bring more of those characters into the fray. I know Mr. Negative isn't Carlos, couldn't be.
Nope. No, it's not. That's a real guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But when he's like, you're listening to Westwood One, like that just made me laugh so hard.
Well, that's not bad either, Chris.
Yeah, I could call in and we could go back and forth.
That's actually very good.
But, I mean, if he's got so many different personalities from the before times, I'd love to hear him.
All right. Well, we'll put that in the suggestion box, Chris. Thank you. Enjoy the game.
I plan on it. And to touch on, what is that, Lee? Who's the guy that calls in about the Baltimore all the time?
Yeah, Lee in Baltimore?
Yeah, to touch on the Bartometer, I think.
Robert. Robert.
Yeah, Robert from Annapolis. You guys should do like a best of Bartometer.
Oh. Okay.
But thanks.
I like all these suggestions. Chris, thanks for the call. I got to let you go. End of the hour. But all these suggestions will be for a phone it in Friday, I think we're going to institute on the show since I'm going down to Chicago, go to a Cubs game. And I'm going to enjoy myself very much. You know, the Sabres game, tickets are as low as $17. Maybe I should go to that this weekend instead. As bad as the Brewers are, that is a silver lining. I know that they're only 0-4 since the start of the season. And most of you, 99.9% of you don't care. But one silver lining is if they're really, really bad, like really bad, tickets are going to be dirt cheap. I like being at the park. If they win or lose, doesn't affect too much of my mood. I just like being at the park having a beer. So it can't be the worst thing. NFC over-unders coming up. Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.